Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
Again, thank you guys for joining us today here at Crosstown Church of Memphis. We hope that today is a blessing to you and that today's message is also a blessing to you guys. You know, for those of you that's been with us, consistently, you know that we're in a teaching series that's titled Beans, Rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron. And today we are on part six of this series. Next Sunday is going to be the conclusion of this series. And then beginning of February, we're going to start a whole brand new teaching series. But in this series that's titled Beans, Rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron, you know, the main point that's been driving us throughout this entire series is sharing our differences is living in a true community. Jesus Christ, God desires that we live in a community, that we not live, you know, in isolation, that we not live, you know, a life by ourselves. But he wants us to live in a community of family, a community of friends, and even a community of people that, you know, we may seem like are not a part of our community, or people that are maybe in our community that we never have any contacts with whatsoever, or we never have any real interaction with. But God desires that we live amongst each other, that we live as a people together. He created us all uniquely as individuals, but also, you know, he created us that we should live together. You know, when God created Adam, he said that it is not good that man should be alone. So he created him a woman. All right. And then he even went further than that. It wasn't good that Adam and Eve should live alone. He gave them the ability to do what? Have children. And they had more children, which developed a community of people. There's multiple times in the Bible where the phrase is used, or the couple words is used, is living living in a community. And God desires that we live in community. Amen. You know, we are the title is Beans, Rice, Jesus Christ, from a video that went viral around Thanksgiving. For those of you that are be on social media and YouTube and stuff, you're probably familiar with it. But in that, one thing's about beans and rice are very good by themselves. They're very great by themselves. Beans are a good form of protein, and rice is a good form of carbohydrates, which is very good. But together, they are even better. And just like beans and rice are good together, guess what? You and I are good together. We are better together. And so when we live in a community, our whole understanding, our whole desire is to understand that we are better together when we live in a true community. Our main scripture has come from the book of John, chapter 13 and 35. It says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples." These are words spoken from Jesus Christ. And he says, "If you love one another." The only way, I ain't gonna say the only way, but the best way to love on one another is in the presence of one another. You know, we can love from a distance, you know, we can love in silence, but the best way to love and the best way to show love is to be in the presence of one another, right? He says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples." How are we going to be a witness to everyone? How are we going to be a witness to the world if people don't see us loving on one another? They need to see us. And the best way for people to see us loving on one another is when we come together at different opportunities, different times, when we are living in a community, you know, fellowshipping together, loving together, worshiping together, playing together, laughing together, working together, you know, mourning together, you know, sorrow, experiencing sorrows and hurts and pains together. When we do a lot of things that we, you know, experience in life, when all of these experiences, the good, the bad, and the ugly, are shared together with one another, then, you know, it makes us stronger for one, but it also serves as a witness so the world can see that we are truly disciples of Jesus Christ. Our subtitle for today's message, so if you're taking notes, I encourage you to do so. Please write. I always encourage people to write, you know, take notes and write things down. And my wife, she's always sitting next to me, and she's always has her phone in her hand. And so I'm just assuming that she's taking notes. I'm assuming she's taking notes. She ain't texting over here. That reminds me. So I remember one time we was in church, and I was sitting on the front row, and this was during a conference that we was having. And the guy that was teaching and ministering during this conference, you know, I'm sitting on the front row, and I got my phone, and I'm constantly on my phone while he's preaching and teaching, right? And then one day, it was like the second day of the conference or something, like, he just stopped in the middle of his message, and he looked at me. He said, "Pastor Byron," in front of everybody. There's probably about 300-400 people here in the church, right? He said, "Pastor Byron," he said, "I keep looking at you, and you are always on your phone." He said, "Get off of your phone. Why are you on your phone?" I said, "Pastor, I'm taking notes. I'm just typing down what you're saying. I'm taking notes." He's like, "Oh, okay. Well, keep on taking notes."
He had the Bible on there too.
And so I always encourage people to take notes. It's a proven fact that if you write something down, you are more likely to retain that information as opposed to if you don't write it down. With that being said, here's a subtitle for today. And that is, keep the main thing the main thing. All right. Keep the main thing the main thing. Sometimes we get so busy with the logistics of things that we get distracted from the main thing. And I'm sure a lot of you guys can relate to this on some level in some situation or some place in your life. But sometimes we get so busy with the logistics of stuff that we actually forget the main thing. How many times, and this is a side note right here, how many times you guys have been in a conversation and a conversation evolved into, or I'm just going to leave it at it. You've been in a conversation with somebody, and then you're talking about one thing. You're talking about a main thing, the point of the conversation. And then all of a sudden, you know, 5 or 10 minutes later, or even 30 minutes later, you know, this conversation been going on and on and on. You're talking about a whole bunch of stuff that had absolutely nothing to do with the point of the conversation. And the point of the conversation absolutely got lost. And you're talking about all this other stuff. And then if you 30 minutes later, you stop and you're like, what were we talking about? And both of y'all looking at each other like, I can't even remember. It is important that we keep the main thing the main thing. All right. And so in all that we do, in everything that we do, it is important that we keep the main thing the main thing. All right. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ. As we've been talking about throughout this series, we've been using different stories of Jesus Christ and helping, looking at his life and looking at his examples to help us to truly understand what his heart and his desire is for us. That's one thing that you can say about Jesus Christ. He walked the walk. All right. He talked the talk and he walked the walk. The things that he talked about, he actually walked those things. He did those things. He wasn't just talk, but he was walk also. Right. And so it's so good for us to look at his life and look at the things that he talked about. And then we look at the things that he talked about. We can actually see the things that he walked about in the same comparison. All right. Just like us, Jesus had a lot of close friends. You guys got close friends. You know, you may look at your circle. Your circle may be small. Your circle may be large. You know, by and large, I think most people's circle is actually smaller than what they think it is. You know, you know a lot of people, but your close-knit friends or your close-knit family, you know, the people that you are with is not really not that big, you know. But anyway, just like us, Jesus had close friends. You know, one time while traveling, and as he did a lot of traveling, he put some mileage on them sandals, boy. While Jesus was traveling, him and the disciples, while they were traveling, you know, he stopped and to visit some close friends. He stopped at a friend's house. You know, there are times where me and Marguerite and our kids, we would travel, we would go on vacation or traveling for whatever reason. And when we would go through a particular city, we go through certain cities, we would always try to identify somebody that we knew in that city. And what we would do is we would use that city as a pit stop. And we will call those people up, whether it's family or whether it's a friend, you know, friends or whatever. We'll call them up ahead of time and we'll say, "Hey, we're going to be traveling to, you know, wherever we was traveling to." And we'll say, "We're going to be going through your city. And we're probably going to take a pit stop there and gas up and get some lunch and stuff like that. It'd be great if we can meet up and see each other real quick. You know, it's just going to be a short trip. You know, you can join us for lunch wherever we stop and get something to eat. You know, we'll be willing to stop. And so we would make these pit stops and we would take the time out to visit a family member or visit some friends on, you know, while we were on our road trip, traveling to wherever we were traveling to. Or even sometimes when we were flying, we had a nice little layover. We would connect with people and we would leave the airport or have them to come to the airport and we would visit for a few minutes. So here Jesus and the disciples, they're traveling and they're on their way to Jerusalem. As they're on their way to the Jerusalem, they make a pit stop in a little town to visit some close friends. And he wanted to hang out with them for a minute. So in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, is the pit stop. We're going to look at the pit stop that Jesus made as he and the disciples are traveling. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there with me. In the book of Luke, chapter 10, starting at verse 38. And this is what it says. It says, as Jesus and the disciples were traveling to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he had to teach. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and she said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sit here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, he said, you are worried and upset all over the details. And he says, he says, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I will not take it away from her. You guys may remember this family, Mary and Martha. All right, Mary and Martha, they were sisters, and they also had a brother. So it's two girls and a boy. Sound like Dion, Nene, and Tia, don't it? Mm-hmm, yeah. So their brother, his name was Lazarus. You guys may remember the story about Lazarus. He had died. And Jesus was off somewhere in another town or something like that. I'm not sure exactly where. I can't remember exactly where he was at, but he wasn't close by or whatever. Then anyway, when Lazarus died, you know, at the time that Lazarus died, Jesus and Lazarus had developed a relationship and they became really close friends. All right. Through Lazarus's relationship with Jesus Christ, that came his relationship with Mary and Martha, Lazarus's sister. And so they all of them were very close friends. All right. And so Lazarus died. He got sick and he died. And, word got to him that his friend, his good friend Lazarus had died. And so Jesus, you know, because of where he was at, he couldn't get there right away. But I think it was like 3 days. 3 days later, he was able to get to Lazarus's sisters and to their village where they was living at. By that time, Lazarus has already been dead. Man, they buried folks real quick then. In 3 days, the man died and they already had him in the grave. But anyway, he died. They had already buried him. And so when he got there, they said to him, it is too late, Jesus. You got here too late. And so Jesus, it said that he wept. If you guys remember the verse in the Bible, they say it's the shortest scripture in the Bible. And it says Jesus wept. And that's where that scripture came from. When he got there and, he was told that his good friend had already died. You know, because I think when he initially got the word, that Lazarus was sick. He was very sick, you know, and but by the time he got there, he was already dead and gone and buried. And it said that Jesus wept when he got the news or when they told him that he was already dead. A lot of people believe that Jesus wept because of, you know, the loss of his good friend. Now, I'm sure that is a reason that he probably wept. I'm sure, you know, it's just like when you lose a family member or you lose a close friend, it does. It emotionally affects you, right? You mourn. You're filled with sorrow by that. You have your emotions that take over. But the reason that Jesus wept is, at least in this particular scripture where it was given, the reason that he wept is not because of Lazarus's death. He wept because these were his close friends. These were people that know him. You know, you got people that know you, but then you got people that know you. These people know what Jesus can do. They know that he's raised people from the dead. They know that he's made lame people walk. They know that he's made blind people see. They know that he walked on the water. They know that he turned, you know, his first miracle, he turned water into wine. They know that, you know, he healed people of diseases that could not be healed before. In other words, these people are so close to Jesus. They know Jesus so well. They know that he is the Christ. They know that he is the Son of God sent from heaven. They know that he is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the forgiver of sins. They know this. So they know, but they know Jesus. They know who he is, but yet they don't have faith that even in the timing that Jesus got there, that it's too late. They said, Jesus, because they know, they said, if Jesus would have gotten there, because that's why they was calling him. They were like, somebody send word, get Jesus over here. Lazarus is sick. If Jesus can get here, we know he can heal him. Get him over here. Get him over here fast. But it's 3 days later, Jesus got there and they said, dude, it's too late. And Jesus wept. And they said, Jesus cried because he's like, y'all know me. And y'all still don't have faith that I can do the miraculous. Okay, let's go on. This is who this family is: Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And here, Mary and Martha, Jesus has stopped by and he's visiting a house. So during their visit, Mary is Mary, you know, she stayed close to Jesus. Jesus is there and he's talking. The disciples are there in their house and they're fellowshipping. They're having a great time. You know how it is when you see someone that you haven't seen for a while. You stop, you know, you visit people. You have a little gathering at your house. You know, somebody's coming through town and they stopping at your house to visit and stuff. Everybody's full of laughs, full of fun, full of conversation. You know what I'm saying? Talking, catching up, you know, on whatever, catching up on life or whatever. Just having a great time, right? And so here they are, and they're all at Mary and Martha's house, and they're having a great time. They're catching up. And Mary, she stays close to Jesus. She's engaging in conversation with him. She's like sticking real close. Man, Jesus is here, y'all. Jesus is here. I'm hanging close to him, you know. And so Martha, while this is happening, Martha, on the other hand, she's in the kitchen, and she's cooking, and she's, you know, preparing some food. She's like, let me whip you up something real quick. I'm going to make sure y'all are fed real good. Y'all don't need to go to no restaurant or nothing like that. Come on my house. I'm going to make sure y'all good. So when y'all get back on the road, y'all straight. All right. And so she's in the kitchen. She's cooking, you know, preparing a big old meal and stuff like that. And after a while doing this visit, you know, Martha, she gets upset and she starts complaining about Mary not helping her. Mary, like, dang, Mary, come on in. Mary's in there hanging out with the disciples and hanging out with Jesus. She kicking it. You know what I mean? And Martha's in the kitchen and she's cooking, trying to prepare some food and stuff like that. Y'all know, I know that y'all can relate to Martha's complaint. Martha is upset. She's complaining. You know, Mary is just in there just hanging out, kicking it while she's in there doing all the work. Right. And so, you know, she's having a you know, you guys can relate to this. You know, you're having a gathering at your house. And you have some guests there coming by, and then your guests are on time, you know, or if it was my case, they would be early. But your guests, they come, but you're not prepared yet. You're not finished yet. You got food that's still cooking. Maybe you got some setup that you're still doing. Maybe you still got some decorations that you're trying to get done. You got some stuff, maybe a little bit of cleaning around the house. You're just trying to get everything straight. You know, we want everything to be perfect, everything to be clean, all the food together. You know, everybody got a place to sit and decorations or whatever it is that you're doing. And then you got guests that are arriving and you're not finished yet. You know, when that happens, you know, you would hope that people, you know, your family members, people who live in your home, you would hope that they would jump in and help you. You would hope that they would see that, man, we got people that's arriving and we still got food together that we got to get together. We got to finish getting this food cooked. We got some straighten up in the house, clean up a little bit. You would hope that your family members, you know, your household family members would jump in and help you. Right. But they don't. Anybody can relate to me on that one? Yeah, I'm sure you can. If you can't, just wave your hand at me and let me know you can relate. Say, hey, man, I know what you're talking about, Pastor. You know, you got them family members. They just don't help. They sit back and keep on watching the TV. You know what I'm saying? They sit back and keep on, you know, entertaining. They laughing. They playing games. They joking. Everybody's having a great time and ain't nobody helping you out trying to get everything done. Right. And so, but they don't help. Mary was one of those people. So don't think about that person that don't help. Then they see that you need some help, right? Mary was one of them. She was one of them family members, right? Mary was kicking it. She was like, man, shoot, Martha can have that. I'm in here chilling. I'm kicking it. So Mary was in there. She was like, you know, one of those people's, you know, she was that one that you would hope would help, but she didn't. Mary was too busy entertaining their guests. She was too busy entertaining Jesus and entertaining the disciples. Martha, she got so upset that she took her complaint to Jesus himself. Wait a minute. Hold up, Mary. You tripping. Martha, you tripping. This is your guest. This is your guest. You're taking your complaint to your guest? If you're going to complain to the people that's in your house, but you're now taking your complaint to your guest. She took it to a whole nother level, right? So she took her complaint to Jesus, and Jesus, he rebuked her. He said, Martha, hold up, wait a minute. In today's words, he checked her. He put her in check, right? This is what he tells her. He tells her, dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. I want to pause right here for just a second, and I want to talk about details, all right? Just for a second, we're going to talk about details, all right? And this is the big thing about it. I remember years ago, I was in a conference, and it was a minister's conference. And in that, there was this guy, he used this word that I had never heard before. So I'm going to give you guys, maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't heard of it, but I'm going to give you guys, the word of the day. All right. So if you're taking notes, here is the word of the day. All right. And that word is minutia. I was in this conference and this dude was talking and stuff and I'm taking notes and everything. And he said minutia. And I was like, minutia? What's minutia? I thought he said manure. But anyway, he said minutia. So here's what minutia is. Minutia is the small, precise, or trivial details of something. All right. And so in this particular conference, this guy was talking about leadership. The whole focus of this conference was about leadership. In other words, when you're in a place of leadership, you have to be able to identify the minutia. You have to be able to identify the small, precise, and trivial details of something. Because as a leader, you can't get caught up. You can't get distracted. You can't be so concerned about the minutia that you actually forget about the main thing. As a leader, you need to make sure you're focused on the main thing, and you can't get distracted from the minutia and miss the main thing. Remember, the subtitle for today's thing is keep the main thing the main thing. And so Mary or Martha, she was so caught up in the minutia. Remember in this scripture, let's go back up here to the scripture again. All right. These scriptures here. And Jesus and his disciples, they are coming through or going to Jerusalem. They stopped in the village. They said they came to a certain village where a woman, singular word, singular person, right? A woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. This was Martha's house. Martha was the one who invited Jesus and the disciples at her house, okay? Martha, therefore, is what? The leader. Martha is, therefore, the person who initiated this whole gathering. She's the person who initiated this whole get-together. She's the one who welcomed Jesus and the disciples into her house, right? And she is now caught up in the details. And that's what Jesus said to her. He says, dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details, the stuff that she was complaining about. She was complaining that Mary wasn't helping her cook. Mary wasn't helping her prepare the food and do other stuff around the house or whatever like that. Instead, Mary is hanging around with Jesus and the disciples. She's entertaining the guests. She's entertaining the guests that who invited? Martha invited. She was caught up in the small, precise, or the trivial details of something. Now, I want you guys to know and understand that those details are important details, okay? Those details have value. Those details have a place, but they were not the main thing. And Martha got so distracted by the details. She got so distracted about those small little details, the trivial details, the precise details, that she forgot about the main thing. Jesus goes on to say, he says, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. He says this to Martha. And here's the thing. The problem wasn't that, the work and all this stuff wasn't important. The problem was that she was so busy that she missed the purpose of the gathering. She failed to keep the main thing. Whenever you are hosting and you're making time to enjoy people, make sure that you make the time to enjoy people. Whenever you're hosting people, you have people over. So we've been talking about community. We've been talking about true community. And we're at a place now, you know, we've been dealing with this pandemic for, we're in our third year now dealing with this pandemic. And one of the things that the pandemic did, it has really disrupted how we used to do community, how we used to do our gatherings, talk, you know, sharing in the four F's, you know, family, friends, fellowship and food. You know, it's affected us, or it's distracted, not distracted us, it's disrupted us coming together and having gatherings and cookouts and having parties and celebrations and all kind of thing where people come together and they share. It's disrupted us of how we go out into our community and we have community events and different things like that. It's disrupted us of how we do church. Right now, we're having church online on Zoom as opposed to being in-person church. You know, so we're at a place right now because we're figuring out, we've gotten smarter when it comes to handling and navigating through this pandemic time. And it's going to pass eventually. You know, I'm not going to say life is going to be back to normal like it used to be. And I don't want it to be like it used to be. I want it to be better. OK, I want us to have learned a lot of things and come out of this thing better. But we're at a place now where we can reestablish what true community looks like. So we're talking about community and all of these lessons. So here's the deal. In gathering, in hosting, in bringing people together, in us coming together, creating situations that looks like what true community should look like, we have to make sure that when we're hosting things, when we're putting on things, when we're participating in things, that we have to make sure we keep the main thing the main thing. When we're hosting, make time to enjoy the people that you are serving. Consider scaling back on all the food and all the details and all the decorations and a lot of stuff that you're preparing. Consider scaling back just a little bit so that you can have time to spend with the people. What's most important is the last. And those meaningful moments, that's what's more important. You know, when people walk away, you know, yeah, they're going to be full. Their stomach's going to be full. You know, they're going to have a great time or whatever. But, you know, what's most important is the last. Those times together that you're spending with one another. The time together that you are doing what? Loving on one another. Jesus said, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples when you love one another. And, you know, so we have to make sure that's the main thing, is loving one another. Interacting, those meaningful moments together. You know, I remember a couple of times, I believe Ton is still, Ton, if you're still on here, I'm about to talk about you, okay? I remember a couple of times Ton and Johnny, they hosted some events at their house, and you know, and I brought my camera and I was taking pictures, you know, to capture some moments. And afterwards, you know, Ton, I remember a couple of times afterwards, Ton noticed that she wasn't in many of the pictures at all. She was only in maybe a couple pictures. And she's like, man, dang, I put on this event and did all this and everything like that. And I'm only in a couple pictures, you know, and she was looking at me like, why couldn't you take more pictures of me? Because you was in the kitchen the whole time. That's why I didn't take more pictures of you. You was constantly cooking. And so here's the deal. She spent so much time on the food and the decorations and the other details that she didn't have much time to really enjoy the event. And we're all guilty of that at times. We've all can relate to that at times. You know, there are times where we're hosting something. We spend so much time, you know, hosting. We spend so much time cooking and so much time decorating, so much time doing this and doing that, serving people, doing this and doing that, we don't really have time to really enjoy the event. We miss out on a lot of the laughs. We miss out on a lot of the entertaining of our guests, the guests that we invited over. You know, they're hanging out and spending time with everybody but us. You know, we miss out on those memorable moments. People, they talk about it, you know, the next day or days later, they talk about it, you know, and they be like, man, we was over so-and-so's house, man. And this what happened, man, we were all that. Oh, man, it was so funny. Or man, this happened. And man, that was just so great. Oh, man, that was a great event. That was a great moment. And you as the host, or you as an assistant, or you as a person who's helping with the event, you know, you'd be like, man, I didn't hear that. Man, I missed that. Man, I didn't see that. Man, I didn't experience that. You missed out. You wasn't in the pictures. You missed the pictures. You was in the kitchen the whole time. You was cleaning up the whole time. You was doing all kind of other stuff the whole time, and you missed out. And you see all the pictures. And you know, Ton, there's been a couple times where she just wasn't in a lot of the actual enjoyment of the event. And that's not to say that she didn't enjoy it. She did enjoy it, but she spent a lot of time working and focused on the minutia that she missed the main thing. Mary, she discovered that the most important thing about that gathering was spending time with Jesus and the disciples. She did not want to miss the laughs. She did not want to miss, you know, the memorable moments. She did not want to miss anything that Jesus would say or do. See, she knew who Jesus was. She knew that he was the Christ. She knew that he was the Messiah. She knew that this man had made blind people, you know, see, and lame people walking. And he's healed, you know, the sick and people who couldn't be healed. He's did all kinds. He raised her brother from the dead. You know, dude was dead in the grave and now he's alive. You know what I'm saying? And Jesus had called, you know, Lazarus when he died. And, you know, going back to that, and Jesus wept when they said, Jesus, is too late. Jesus, he wept, you know, a single tear. I don't know if it's a single tear, but anyway, he wept. And he told everybody to step aside. He called out. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And all of a sudden, the grave opened up and Lazarus come walking up out the grave and he was alive. That brother is sitting there in that gathering with them. He's having a great time. Martha is missing all of this. They know that Jesus, Mary knows that, man, you better stay close to Jesus, because ain't no telling what he might do. Ain't no telling what he might say. But whatever he do or whatever he say, it's going to be good. And I'm not going to miss it. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to be one of them ones that be able to say, I saw it with my own eyes. Mary wanted to make sure she was one of those people. Martha wasn't even thinking about it. Mary, Jesus says to her, I will not take this away from Mary to tell her to go in the kitchen and help you cook. She didn't want to miss the laughs, the memorable moments. She did not want to miss anything important that Jesus might say or do. She made sure that she was keeping the main thing, the main thing. Think about it. Think about this. We don't want to be so busy that we fail to spend time with people. So often, we turn down invitations to participate in a community event. And when I say community, I'm meaning a gathering of people. Sometimes we are so busy that we turn down, you know, going out into our community and maybe volunteering, you know, in service work, volunteering and helping people in our community that need help. We turn down opportunities to, you know, be a part of something that is meaningful, that's happening in our community. You know, it could be something as feeding the homeless. It could be something as doing participating in a school supply drive, you know, giving school supplies away to families. It could be something as simple as going to a neighborhood school basketball game or something like that. It could be something, you know, it could be something as simple as, you know, going and supporting a community outreach event or a community celebration event. One of your friends or one of your coworkers or you, one of your neighbors invites you over to something that they're having or something that the community is having. Your church or maybe your friend's church got something going on and accepting an invitation. And sometimes we turn down those invitations and we turn down those opportunities to participate in true community. Why? Because we are so busy. And we look at the things sometimes that we're so busy doing, it's minutia. They're small, trivial, precise details that takes you away, that distracts you from the main thing. The time you spend with people is true community. And that's what Jesus wants us to know. That's what he wants us to understand. We have a great opportunity right now as we are moving and navigating through this pandemic time and getting back to a place of being able to understand how we can still gather and come together, how we can still do things in our community, as a church, as family, as friends, and do these things in a way that is meaningful. And that is, let's make sure that we keep the main thing the main thing. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.